All right. What happens to him when he dies? Well, basically, all that happens is that a separation occurs between the thetan and the body. That's basically all that happens. He, however, takes with him old tin cans and rattling chains and bric-a-brac and other energy phenomena that he feels he cannot do without, and stashes this in the next body that he picks up. Now, he does not build a body. He does not build a new body in this lazy time of manufactured items and frigidaires and so on. He picks one up off the genetic line, and the genetic line is a series of mocked-up automaticities which produce, according to a certain blueprint, from the earliest times of life on this planet through until now. And as everybody, even people in biology, know, there is a definite succession of steps that life takes today. It's hard for us to believe that a little less than a century ago, a man was almost hanged for heresy for announcing the theory of natural selection and evolution. And they actually had trials after the beginning of this century on the subject of evolution and so on right here in the United States. But this is a concept which we know today for a very good fact. We understand this rather thoroughly, that something goes through these various steps. Well, what goes through the steps? Well, an automaticity goes through the steps. Well, where did the automaticity come from? Well, that is not the subject of death. That is totally disassociated from it. Death is something the automaticity does. We don't care where it came from. I mean, this idea of let's backtrack it and get earlier and earlier and earlier and earlier and earlier will finally, we hope, leave us someplace at the beginning of things. Well, there may be a beginning of things. There may be an end of things. I don't know. But I notice all clocks go round and round and round. Anyway, there is such a thing as a cycle of action, however, and this cycle of action in Scientology is create, survive, destroy. At the shoulder of the curve, an individual is mostly interested in surviving. Early on the curve, he is interested in creating. And at the end of the curve, why, he is interested in the disposition of the remains. Now, this happens whether you're speaking of a building, a tree, anything else. We get the same cycle of action, create, survive, destroy. Well, when we apply this cycle of action to this, these various parts I described, we get a death of the body, a partial death of the mind, and a forgettingness on the part of the spiritual being, which is in itself, again, a type of death. So we get this. Now, actually, bodies stay around for quite a while. After death, quite ordinarily, it takes them a while to decompose. Sometimes, as in Egypt, they were embalmed. I had the medical examiner of the state of New York. Medical examiner, that's what they call a coroner, of New York City. He was a good pal of mine one time. He taught me a great deal about writing detective stories. And he used to say, "The morgue is open to you any time, Hubbard." Now, we were pretty good friends. But he told me a great deal about decomposition, how various parts of the body decompose before other parts of the body, and actually the cells in the cuticle evidently live the longest, if not the cells in the hair. These little cells actually remain alive for a very long time. Well, the decaying mechanism, which is employed here, is effective sooner on some parts of the body than others. On the bloodstream, it's effective within about 8 or 10 minutes. If you stop a person's circulation, then the red and white corpuscles and so forth die in 8 or 10 minutes. That's what people say. I've been dead for half an hour myself. I probably haven't had my heart beating any longer.